D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. Dave Hits and Tomas, they doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z know what's popping in the field.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Man, you know, I think this relationship that we've built, this might be a little awkward, but look, man, I love you too. I just got to go out and say it. Welcome in another week, another bonus edition of the BS and Beer podcast. Now, I'm riding solo today, but I'm trying a new little format here. I have some special guests. Today on the show, I have Brian Bieniemy of ESPN 100.3 FM in New Orleans coming in. He's going to talk a little Saints training camp, Saints players, get a little Saints talk. You can find him at BrianTNR on Twitter. I also have John Sigler of Canal Street Chronicles coming in. He's going to talk some football with us, and I don't know why I say Saints, because that's what we do. So we wouldn't come in and talk much more than that, unless it may be some funny news or something. You know, we like to do that sometimes. And, of course, my weekly conversation with Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. Another thing that I'm going to mention is Chris Landry and I have decided to do a little bit more work together. We have a couple of projects in the works. And one of the things I'm going to start doing is a weekly article, a weekly column that you'll be able to find on LandryFootball.com. Now, you realize, if you follow him at all, Chris Landry's an NFL scout. He was an NFL position coach, even coordinated the NFL draft at one point. So he's not just a Saints guy, but when you're talking about knowledge about all the different teams, NFL and college, there is no one that has more information than Chris Landry when it comes to all 32 NFL teams, all the college teams. I mean, I talk to this guy, man, I get beside myself when I ask him, because, you know, if you follow the show, I do this Kentucky show as well, and I'll ask him about some player on Kentucky, the University of Kentucky's roster, and he'll tell me where they went to high school and what they did in high school. I mean, the guy lives and breathes football. He's a walking database full of football knowledge. So anytime I can tap into it, and you guys can tap into it as well. You know what you can do? You can call the hotline, 701-901-1295. Ask a question. We'll get Chris to answer it for you next time we do a show. Another thing, if you want to, please follow me on Twitter. I think it's kind of funny, because I just started reaching out to the Twitter world. And, you know, quite frankly, it's like this whole little world that's opened up to me that I didn't quite realize what was out there. So Saints BS. I'm Dave Romero, David Romero at Saints BS. Give me a follow, man. Let's talk a little bit on Twitter as well. Anyway, let's get to it.
Thank you. And now, it's time for the bonus round, where you play in front of dozens of people for tens of dollars. Tomas, Heath, Dave, are you ready? Let's play BS and Beer Podcast!
All right, welcome back. It's the SEC Pub. It's the BS and Beer Podcast. As I talked about earlier, we have John Sigler of Canal Street Chronicles on with us. John, welcome to the show. How you doing today, brother?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on today. Right here on the eve of Saints training camp.
Exactly. Everybody's super excited about it. I know we talked about it on our show earlier in the week. One of the things that broke today, Danelle Ellerbe out. IR. What are your thoughts on this?
Oh, man, it's disappointing, but that's kind of been the story with Ellerbe the last couple of years. He just can't stay healthy and get on the field. Now, when he was on the field, he was one of our best linebackers. Last year, he played like 9 games last year, had, I think, 44 tackles, 4 sacks. That's great production, get out of a reserve linebacker in that few games. But I guess the Saints, they're just either tired of waiting on him to get healthy again. I guess he's got a foot issue right now. And then they added so many linebackers this offseason that they kind of don't have to wait on him like they did last year. They got that draft pick, Alex Anzalone out of Florida, who's turned some heads. He's doing real good. They just signed Michael Mowdy back yesterday. He's recovered from some kind of off-season surgery. He's back in the fold. So they've got plenty of guys at linebacker now. They don't have to wait on Ellerbe, and I think they'll be okay. I'm not sure how involved he was in their plans for this year, with them knowing how often he's hurt and how little he can get off the field.
Well, I agree with you on that point because I think at some point the Saints had to have realized that you simply cannot go into a season planning on Ellerbe to be healthy. At some point, injuries are no longer just fluke. It's always something, and it's always something different. So my thoughts have always been, if you have a guy who's talented, as long as you have, and I think that's what they did last year with Robinson, if you bring in a guy who's a solid backup and you can get 8-10 games out of Ellerbe, who when he's on the field, he's a very good football player. But when he's not on the field, you better have someone who can back him up, who can play football.
Yeah, sure. And Robinson, he was really good last year. I think they want him to be the third linebacker, like you say, kind of a backup reserve kind of guy. Last year he got forced to start with all the injuries to guys like Ellerbe. I'm looking forward to how he does this year if we can kind of go in at full strength with the linebacker core.
So with the season, or actually the training camp starting here within the next couple of days, give me an idea who you think some of the guys you want to keep your eye on. Not guys that we know. We're not talking Drew Brees. We're not talking Mark Ingram. We're not talking Cam Jordan. Who are the guys do you think the Saints, A, need to step up, and who do you think has the most potential to step up and surprise us?
Yeah, the guy, he's on everybody's minds, and that's Stephon Anthony. Former first-round pick, so yeah, he's got some name recognition, but things are just so rough for him going into this season. He started his first year, led the defense in snaps, led him in tackles, but he had a lot of issues in his game. Really struggled to read and react, move quickly on the field. It was just kind of a real tough transition for him from Clemson. Second year, he couldn't get on the field. They had guys, they signed James Laurinaitis in free agency. He got hurt. Rather than get Anthony in the starting job, they move up. They move Robertson over. They play Michael Mowdy there for a bit before he has to get out with an injury. Anthony just couldn't get on the field last year because they knew he was such a liability. And he's in the best position I think they can put him in to really turn his career around this year. That they got the new linebackers coach and Mike Nolan, who's helped teach guys in the past. Maybe he could do something that Joe Vitt couldn't do with Anthony and just get him to get out there and contribute. Anthony, he's got the build. He's got the athleticism that you kind of build in a lab. I mean, he's exactly what you want at middle linebacker in the NFL today. But we just got to get it more going on upstairs with him. And if he's able to step up and make some strides in training camp, I think that would be a real good sign for the defense moving forward.
Actually, I agree with you. And I guess part of my hopes is that maybe the light comes on. But in addition to that, with the addition of Mike Nolan as a linebacker coach, hopefully his style of coaching would be better to help a young player like that who's having trouble mentally grasping all the nuances of the game, because all the physical talents are obviously there. So now it's a matter of, can a coach get out of him the mental side of it to put it all together? So who else, maybe give me an offensive guy that you're thinking might step out from the dust to help the offense out.
You know, we all rag on him all the time, but we really shouldn't sleep on Brandon Coleman so much. I know he hasn't gotten to do a whole lot just because we had the big three receivers last year. We got Tech in to fill in for Brandon Cooks now, but Coleman is a lot better than a lot of people give him credit for. And that goes for other receivers, too. Like, Willie Snead is the guy who's in a contract year. He's kind of a fan favorite, but a lot of people don't give him enough credit. I'm not sure that fans really appreciate what we have with Willie Snead. He gets separation very easily against any type of coverage, anybody that you match him up against. He really looks a lot like an early career Antonio Brown. That's something that a lot of smart football heads have thrown around, and the more I watch Snead and the more I study how he does in various football metrics, the more weight that gets. So with Brandon Cooks out of the picture and Ted Ginn being in his first year in this season, we could see some guys who've been around for a couple of years now, and Coleman and Sneed, really take some big steps forward and become pretty big contributors in the offense.
Well, okay, so I find that to be a pretty interesting comparison with Brown, who always struck me to be a different type of receiver, but that's an interesting comparison that I'll have to look into and see how I can see that relationship. Well, I ask you this question. It's early. It's very early, but it's no fun to do a prediction once we're 8 games into the season. What are you expecting from the Saints this year record-wise?
Man, looking at the schedule, looking at especially the start, that first month they've got, Sean Payton talked about this yesterday on Larry Holder's radio show. That first month is so difficult, and we'll know how the season's going to go by the end of it, one way or the other. If they run out there and go 0-4, then we're going to have a rough time of it. Again, probably looking down the barrel 7-9, 8-8. I'm a little more optimistic. I really think they've done pretty much all that they can to address as many weaknesses as they can this year. I'm thinking 10 wins is the ceiling. Now, is 10 wins enough to get into the playoffs? I don't know. We're in a tough division. We got the Super Bowl chokers sitting at the top of it. We got Tampa Bay has made some really good moves this season. Carolina is trying to take their offense in a new direction. There's a lot going on, a lot of moving parts, and best case scenario, I think the Saints win 10 games, they get a wild card spot, and we see where it goes from there. We can get a couple more games with Drew Brees in the playoffs.
Well, I think those are pretty reasonable expectations, so I'm close to the same page as you are. Anyway, John Sigler of Canal Street Chronicles. John, thank you so much for taking some time and coming on the show, and hopefully I have had you on in the past, and just because of the nature of how things worked out, I haven't gotten you on, but I'm going to try, if you're willing, to get you back on the show a little bit more often this year.
Yeah, man, whenever you need somebody on, I'll be happy to take some time in my schedule and get on here.
All right.
Real nice to get to talk about the Saints instead of write about them and tweet about them all day.
Absolutely. John, thanks so much, man, and thank you again. We'll talk to you soon. That was John Sigler of the Canal Street Chronicles. You can go there, find his articles. He always has good insight. I appreciate him, and thank him for coming on the show. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm here live at the SEC Sports Pub, the BS and Beer podcast. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back with Brian Bienemy of ESPN 100.3 FM in New Orleans. Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast. All right, we're back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew here live at the SEC Sports Pub, as we are every Thursday during football season. Now, to continue on with my lineup of guests, I have another guy on the line, Brian Bienemy. He's the Bret Hart of sports talk, covering the NFC South for ESPN New Orleans 100.3 FM. Brian, how you doing today, man?
Doing well, my brother. Thank you so much for having me on. Can't wait to get down to some of these hot topics that are going on in and around the NFL, and especially with my Saints.
Absolutely, man. Camp is this week. It's happening. It's for real. I was a little disappointed last week. The rookies reported on Wednesday. I thought there would be all kinds of news out there to talk about. Really not a whole bunch until last night. I saw that Willie Snead re-signed. I also saw that Ellerby finally put on IR. I think it's the end of the Ellerby project. Your thoughts?
Definitely, man. You're 2-for-2 with that. Last night, of course, you know, everybody had their conditioning test. Local favorite here, Trayvon Darrell from LSU, also trying to make the squad with the Saints. He actually passed his conditioning test, so that made a bunch of the locals happy that he's going to get a shot. As well as, like you said about Willie Snead, signed his restricted rights free agent and free agent tag, and I mean, you know, he's ready to rock and roll now, which wouldn't have made, you know, made a big difference because he couldn't hold out. If he should have, you know, decided to hold out, it all starts all over again next year anyway. So he made the right decision. I do think the Saints will take care of him eventually. And of course, the big news that broke today, which is kind of why I was a little bit delayed getting to you, Danelle Ellerby finally placed on IR, and once he's healthy enough to be released, he'll be waived by the Saints.
Yeah, I don't see any future in that. When he was on the field, good player. I don't think there's any question that he was a player that made the Saints defense better, and even a guy that you would consider that he could, you could build around. Problem is he was never healthy. If I'm not mistaken, and maybe you'll know this, I think every single season he's been with the Saints, he started on the PUP list.
That is accurate. That's very much an accurate statement. I mean, he's played a total, I believe, of 9 games out of a possible 32. 4 sacks, 44 tackles, and clearly the best linebacker on the field when he's healthy and available. And as you stated, the problem is he's never healthy, he's never available. So I think that the Ellaby experiment is long overdue to be over with.
Yeah, I agree with you. Okay, so let's go back to the Willie Snead situation. He obviously settled. It's not a good position to be in, to be in playing football in the NFL without a contract. He signed a deal. It was just his restricted free agent tender. It was a little over $600,000. What do you think his actual value? It seems to me every year I try to predict these things and I'm always short. Like it just keeps increasing every year. Do you think he's a $2 million guy? Is he a $10 million guy? What's his number?
I think he's somewhere in between. I think he's so much compared to Lance Moore, who was a standout wide receiver for the New Orleans Saints as a slot receiver. I think that bill fits, and I also think the pay scale fits. Slot receivers don't make a lot of money on the NFL free agency track once they hit free agency. And I think he'll be somewhere in between. It wouldn't shock me to see him sign a deal that pays him somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe roughly $4 or $5 million a year, something like that. I'm not going to understate his value because it seems as if he's the best possession receiver that the Saints have. It seems like whenever Drew throws him the ball, it's either a first down or it's right about to lead to one. So I do think he has a lot of value, especially in that offense. And he gets a big knock for being, quote-unquote, a system guy, but I mean, whatever that system is, it's working out well for him. He's bounced around the league, with a few teams, and he seemed to have found a home with the Saints, and Drew trusts him, which is the most important thing. I'm pretty sure that deal will get worked out sometime in the near future. I don't think he goes into next year, wondering whether or not he's going to be here long term.
I predict that they'll have a deal done for him by the start of the season. Now, I could be wrong. I just feel like he's not only a good player. You mentioned it. Drew Brees trusts him. I do realize that he has some limitations. He is not he's not a big play receiver, but he's a guy you can count on game in and game out, and he's a team player. If he hasn't shown it, he's shown it this offseason where without a contract he came in, he was working out. Now he signs this free agent tender, which he's woefully underpaid. Listen, I don't know if he's a $5 million guy. I think that's probably right because I think he's a $4 million guy, right? But every time I say a number, it's always give it another 30% more. So I'm somewhere in there, and I bet you're closer to being right. And I think that him signing that contract was just another team player type move by him to say, look, let's get this contract signed so I can get into camp and I can start playing ball.
Absolutely. I think the only thing possibly holding up the deal is that also Kenny Vaccaro is a free agent, and I think they're going to actually let Kenny play out the season before they decide what they'll do with him. But I think the Nick Fairley situation may be slightly, and I'm not going to say it's definite, but it could be slightly altering the reason why Willie Snead hasn't gotten his contract just yet, considering that they may have a little, hassle over what exactly Nick Fairley will get paid and how much the league is going to give the Saints a reprieve on that amount. So maybe that could possibly be holding it up. I don't think it's going to stop anything.
Okay. I agree with you. So now I want to get your thoughts on who do you think, and this is a question I've been asking all my guests today, who do you think are the guys that the Saints not only need, but you think will step up? We're not talking about Drew Brees. We're not talking about Mark Ingram. We're not talking about Cam Jordan. We're talking about guys who weren't impact players last year who are going to step up and be that guy this year from your perspective.
I think it's almost a must that it has to be a guy like Kobe Fleener, who, he got the big free agent deal coming in. Last year was really, really rough for him. And, even openly admitted that when he first got to the team, that he really had a hard time grasping the playbook. I think year two, it almost has to be Kobe Fleener, considering that you did trade away Brandon Cooks. You're going to be starting possibly a rookie left tackle. You still have a little bit of unsettlement going on when it comes to Max Unger and whether or not he's going to be fully healthy at the start of the season. So in order for the Saints offense to hum like it's supposed to, we all know the tight end is a very important part of it. Kobe Fleener has to come up big.
I agree with you, at least in the sense that Kobe Fleener, from most Saints fans' perspective, and now it might have been overinflated idea of what they expected from him when you've had guys in the past, Ben Watson, who had career years, now all of a sudden fans expect a guy to come out that has what they would consider more talent than Ben Watson to exceed those statistics. And from all the things, and we've talked about this all offseason, if I'm not mistaken, Fleener was paid like somewhere around 13, 14th tight end in the league, and he performed at about 13, 14 tight end in the league, if you understand where I'm going with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that there is room for him to develop and increase his productivity on the field. I think he will be a better player. Now, he will always have certain limitations. I don't think he's the toughest guy. But I think that the expectation is, because he's a tight end, that he's supposed to be a tough guy. And from my perspective, he's a big receiver. He's not really a tight end.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that assessment. As well, as people have to keep in mind, I think, you know, as Saints fans and media, we're a little bit spoiled because of what Drew Brees has done with the tight end, especially when we consider the Jimmy Graham years. And I think people always want to establish every tight end according to Jimmy Graham's standard, you know, but Jimmy was arguably the best tight end in football, and if he wasn't, he was definitely 1A behind Rob Gronkowski. But I think the idea with Fleener, if people kind of forget, that even in Ben Watson's first year, he didn't really excel. It wasn't until he came on that second year, you know, and so forth, that he was able to kind of, you know, spread his wings and show what he could really do in the offense. But I think Fleener will be fine. I think he's the offensive guy that definitely has to step up. And as far as defensively, I think, you know, a guy that must step up is going to have to be a guy like Delvin Bro, who's pretty much a third-year player, but it's almost like he's still a second-year guy considering that he spent most of last season injured. He kind of was injured and banged up a little bit his rookie season, missed a few games, and then came on late into the season. So I think Delvin Bro has to be that number one lockdown corner. Otherwise, we're in trouble because you're going to start P.J. Williams, who's essentially a rookie considering that he missed so much time last season, and Marshawn Lattimore, who's definitely a rookie. It's going to be tough if Delvin Bro can't step up and be that guy.
Absolutely. I agree with you. There's so much talent, so much depth in the defensive backfield. Swan coming back, hopefully from the concussion issues he had. You hope that's resolved. You have quite a bit of depth. The problem is the most talented guys on the roster that are defensive backs are so young. You have a rookie in Williams, who I think most people are expecting a lot from. You mentioned Lattimore. You even have Bell, who's not a seasoned veteran. He's a second-year guy, and I think he has still a ways to go in his development. And hopefully, by the time the season starts, he'll get there.
Oh, no question. I think the problem with the entire Saints defense, and if you could even add a few players offensively, the Saints is a team consistent of what if. You know, what
right.
if this guy can remain healthy, and what if this guy can play up to his potential even as a rookie? And, you know, as we said, Delvin Bro injured, you know, quite a bit. You've got guys, you know, guys like Marshawn Lattimore, Marcus Williams. You know, they're still what if type of guys. You know, Sterling Moore, what if he's better in his second year considering that he played his first year pretty much as a walk-on off the street? So when you look at the Saints defense as a whole, it's a bunch of guys that you can say what if when it comes to those guys. And, you know, again, offensively, you can say the same. You know, what if you can get the rookie to play well in his first year at left tackle, and you can keep Pete where he is? I just think the Saints team right now should be the New Orleans what ifs. And what if those guys can come together and do the right thing, then the Saints will have a chance at a crack at the playoffs, considering the NFC South is really open.
Yeah, you know what? You hit it on the head. I mean, it's going to be a baptism by fire for so many of these young guys who I think the fans are so excited about. I mean, because if you look at our offseason, we've had a ton of great acquisitions. We solidified our offensive line with Warford. You bring in Ramchek, so you're looking deep. You're feeling deep. But then all of a sudden, Armstead goes out. Now all of a sudden, your depth isn't there the same. So you're relying on a young guy who potentially, you know, he was a first-round draft pick. If he wasn't injured, he'd have been a higher first-round draft pick. The problem is he's still a rookie, and he's going to be asked to play probably one of the three most difficult positions on the NFL field at left tackle.
Oh, yeah, no question about that. And not to mention that, but, you know, it's the idea of when you drafted him to be a possible replacement for Zach Street on the right side, which only brings up another one of those what-if type of questions, which would be, what if he's playing well and Teron Armstead is healthy? Now what do you do? as well as if he can finish out the season on a high note. And now you have a situation to where you can clearly see he's a good left tackle. Do you even want to take the chance of even swinging him to the right after it's time for Streep to kind of, hang up his cleats and walk off into the sunset? Then, I mean, again, that what if question is going to be really big for the New Orleans Saints. And I'll be at training camp this Thursday, and I'll get to start to answer some of those what if questions.
Well, I tell you, guys, I'm talking to Brian Bienemy. He's over at ESPN New Orleans, 100.3 FM. That's where you can find him. You can listen to him. Also, Brian, give him your Twitter. I see it right here. It's at Brian TNR. Is that correct?
Absolutely. At Brian TNR. Day or night, you guys can hit me up. It doesn't matter. If I don't get to you, I promise you that I will. And, I'm always willing to talk Saints football in general, whatever sport you like. I'm here for it. I'm trying to brush up my IQ on golf a little bit more because I'm not the biggest Jordan Spieth guy, but, when you come back and you win the British Open like that, I can't be mad at you.
That was exciting stuff, man. Hey, Brian, thank you so much for joining me, and I appreciate it. And if you're open to it, we'd love to have you on in the future.
No problem, man. Whenever you need me, just give me a ring. You got my number, and I'm here whenever you guys need me.
Okay, thank you, and we'll talk to you soon. That was Brian Bienemy. You can find him on Sports Talk covering the NFC South for ESPN New Orleans, 100.3 FM. Check it out. He's a great guy. Or, his Twitter, at Brian TNR. Look him up. He's always looking to talk some Saints football. All right, you're listening to the BS and Beer podcast here at the SEC Pub. I'm riding solo today, but if you stay tuned, coming up next, our weekly chat with Chris Landry.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer Podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
All right, we're back. It's the BS and Beer podcast recording live from the SEC Sports Pub. As we do every week, my friend Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com is joining us. Chris, welcome to the show. How are you today, man?
I'm doing good, Dave. It's good to be with you again. And, boy, it's hot around the country, but boy, training camps are starting in earnest this week around the NFL.
All right, so one of the things that I think is going to be a question we're going to have all the way through training camp, and I want to get some more of your thoughts on the offensive line. Now, last year, Pete played the left side when Armstead went down. Now, we have a first-round draft pick in the rookie Ramczyk. And I'm wondering, is it better that if we would leave Pete at left guard and start grooming Ramczyk, or do you feel like maybe the better option would be to move Pete to left tackle and roll from there and see how things evolve? So what are your thoughts on that situation?
Well, that's going to be determined by the play of Ramczyk. And if Ramczyk is proven capable of handling it, that's fine. But, these decisions are not made in a vacuum and they're not made on paper. It's about what can he handle. And it's a difficult position to learn. Playing left tackle is very difficult. You're out on an island, so to speak. And there's some limitations that every young tackle will have. But what it really comes down to is you want to make sure that you're strongest at both positions. In essence, if Pete is better early at left tackle, that's who they'll play at left tackle, because that is such a difficult position to compensate. If you have any less performance, you just can't have it at left tackle. You can get away with it a little bit at guard, but not at tackle. So it really depends. If Ramczyk can play to the equal of Pete early, then he'll get that job, and that makes you stronger at both positions. But it'll really be up to how quickly Ramczyk transitions.
Now, I know this is a hypothetical, but last week on our show, we had a conversation. Heath and I started bantering about that. Let's say, hypothetically, if Ramczyk comes in and plays on a scale from 1 to 10, plays like an 8. And this is what we consider Armstead as a 10. Now, that might be arguable, but I personally think that he's a top five left tackle in the league. Would that be fair before we go further with this and this this conversation?
Not top five, but he certainly graded in the high reds, and the blues have certainly put him in that next tier. He's been very good, and certainly by far the best left tackle that the Saints have had available until his injury, obviously.
Okay, so then that makes the debate a little bit more sense now. So the debate was if Ramczyk comes in and plays really solid football and stays healthy. When Armstead comes back, what do you do with Armstead? Is it just a no-brainer that Armstead goes in, or would you consider going with a guy who might be slightly less talented or less experienced but is healthy and stays in the lineup? Is that a consideration?
No, Armstead's the left tackle. Armstead has the better feet. Ramczyk is eventually, if all else is equal and you could have everybody healthy, Armstead would be your left tackle and Ramczyk would be your future right tackle. Ramchek's a guy that his best spot would be right tackle, but he can play left tackle. So his versatility helps you. And, you know, to some degree, when they drafted Pete, there was a little bit of a feel he's a right tackle guard guy. Ramczyk can be a right tackle and in a pinch left tackle guy. So, If Armstead's healthy, there's not a better left tackle for the Saints on their roster than he. So Ramczyk would be, in the experience playing on the left side, if he gets a lot of reps there, and at guard in particular, if Ramczyk played inside some, which always is a good thing to try to do, it really helps to learn all the positions. It helps you play your position better. I think ideally he's a right tackle. It gives them flexibility, though. So if Armstead moves on down the road, they've got a guy that can put in at left tackle. So you see, that's how personnel works, is he has some versatility. His versatility, though, is right and left tackle, whereas Pete is right tackle, left guard, and in a pinch, you know, left tackle.
Gotcha. Okay, so earlier we got a call from Craig in L.A., one of our hotline calls, and his question was, now that the only loss that he perceives the Saints really had was the Nick Fairley loss. He said that we added new linebackers, defensive backs, especially through the draft, and he can't see why everyone thinks that that the defense is getting worse. My response to him was, it's not so much that I see that we've gotten worse, so much as Nick Fairley is a proven commodity. The guys that we've picked up, whether they be through the draft as rookies, or just guys who are just not a lot of experience or maybe haven't necessarily done it yet. So it's not that I don't think they can be good. It's just one gives me a lot more a feeling of security than the other guys. Let me get your thoughts on that.
Well, you want to have four quality defensive tackles. And right now they've got a guy in Rankins can be that, and they really don't have much after that. Davidson and Onimata are guys that can be backup guys, but they just are not deep enough or good enough at defensive tackle. Frankly, they weren't deep enough with a healthy Fairley. Without him, it brings them back even another notch. That's the staple of your defense. Linebackers are linebackers. Edge rushers, we're not talking about that. For the caller, we're talking about completely different positions. And it's sometimes hard for fans to understand. They just hear names and hear things and hear. They don't understand that the defensive line is where the Saints have not been strong, are not strong, and quite frankly are pretty weak overall. When you put their defensive line roster in the league, they're one of the weakest, particularly at tackle with the loss of Fairley. So, listen, they're going to have Onimata and Davidson play very, very well. Rankins is going to have to play very, very well. And if those guys play extremely well and they get a surprise and you've got four guys that can go into rotation and give them quality play, that is when the loss defensively will be proven to not be as bad. But the linebacker play is not going to overcome poor defensive tackle play.
You know, Chris, thank you so much. You know, I know I probably ripped you off of the pool or somewhere in the middle of July here. You trying to get your tan going on and whatnot. I want to thank you, and I appreciate you coming on the show this week, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
Hey, look forward to it. Really appreciate it.
All right, it's Chris Landry. He's here with me just about every week. LandryFootball.com. Some of the best insight, best information that you can find on the net or anywhere. Right here with Mr. Chris Landry. Chris, welcome to the show. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. It's good to be with you again.
Man, always enjoy talking to you. You know, matter of fact, I just got to let you know, I thought, and a lot of the ways that I've introduced you to the UK fans here, I've come to find out that there are a lot of people who know exactly who you are and have heard you on your ESPN show. You do an ESPN show. Is it a weekend show, you were telling me?
Well, I do some stuff on NBC. I've done some stuff with the ESPN, Fox, but mainly with NBC nationally, and then around the country. We've been in a lot of different places, including in the great bluegrass state of Kentucky. So, yeah, it's been doing it for a little while, and I think a lot of people with the website LandryFootball.com has drawn a lot of attention, and people maybe become a little bit more familiar. So, love the football fans out there.
Yeah, I think the whole globe has shrunk so much. Where now, I was surprised you're a little more popular here in the bluegrass than I even realized. So,
That's great.
Let's see.
Great people there.
Absolutely, man. So, okay, what are your thoughts? Now, last year, Kentucky's center position was held down pretty well by a four-year starter named John Toth, who went undrafted this year. It was a little bit of a surprise. I think from what I've gathered, maybe not as athletic as people would like to see. It looks like this year, a gentleman by the name of Bunchy Stallings is going to take his place. Can you give us some thoughts on him?
I like Bunchy. I think he's a really good run blocker. He's a very solid anchor in the middle. He's developed into a really good player. I think his short pass set's pretty solid. He's not overly athletic, but I think he's functional enough to work with guards and get out on a trap block and can reach a three technique and is athletic enough to do those things. And I think in him, I'd grade him a little bit better than Drake Jackson, who's another good young player, who's a redshirt freshman there, and Yeomans and Blake Best. They've got some good guys at center, but I think he's a really good player that's going to help them, and they're going to be counting on him a lot, obviously, to open up the holes for Benny Snell and obviously provide protection to the quarterback.
Outstanding. Another question I wanted to get your thoughts on was we as in Kentucky has a new defensive coordinator this year, House. What effect do you think, if there's any changes in philosophy, what do you think the overall changes might be on Kentucky's defense?
Not a lot. Matt House is, Mark brought him over from Pittsburgh. He was a defense coordinator at Pitt in 13 and 14 and in Florida International. And he's done a really good job. It's Mark's defense, and how they run that defense is going to be in Mark's vision. And, you know, he was, of course, the linebacker coach and, worked on special teams. So I think the transition is going to be pretty seamless. They've got a good unit. Jordan Jones is a really good player for them, and he'll lead that defense on the second level. And I don't think schematically you're going to see a lot different.
So you probably, as a casual fan, not really notice a whole bunch of difference between those two guys. Stoops is a defensive-minded head coach. Is that fair assessment?
Absolutely. He was a very good defensive coordinator at all of his stops, like all the Stoops boys, Mike and Bob. Really did a good job coordinating Florida State's defense before getting the Kentucky job, head job.
Okay, so a lot of times whenever they bring these defensive coordinators in, they're just guys who are basically there to execute Coach Stoops' plan that's already in place.
Right, and bring some ideas and understanding that can maybe grow it, and I think that's what Matt is going to be able to do. Matt's a good young coach. I think he'll do a really good job for Mark.
Oh, outstanding. Chris, I appreciate you so much. It's Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. Go out, get this information, find the website. There's more stuff than you can really wrap your head around. All the college stuff, all the pro stuff. If you want your information about football, and LandryFootball.com is the place to go. Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show this week, man, and we will talk to you next week.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Look forward to it.
Well, there you go. Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. You want to head over there, see the content. It's different, folks. It's not your stereotypical site where you go and read some articles about opinions. What you're going to get at his site is true NFL scout coaching feedback. You have NFL eyes on this player, on this team, on this particular play, and he's going to break it down for you. He's going to let you know where your guy stands, whether it's college or pros. You'll get a professional football opinion about your players. All right, so there's our first show with this new sort of format where instead of just me babbling on about things, bringing in some other folks who aren't normally associated with the show and get their outlook on it. So I kind of like how that went, man. So I want to thank, while we're at it, Brian Bieniemy of ESPN 100.3 FM in New Orleans for coming in. I also want to thank John Sigler of the Canal Street Chronicles. And, of course, every week, Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com, who comes in and has a discussion about the Saints with me. I truly appreciate all you guys. And I also want to thank the SEC Sports Pub, who sponsors our show. Thank you so much for all the help and all the kindness. We appreciate it. So for Heath Elson-San and Tomas Mauricio, who weren't available today, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast, and we will talk to you next week.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.